So howdy, my name is James Glover. I am a PhD student at Texas A&M University in College Station. And today I want to talk to you about comparing bowl injury and economic injury levels for a species complex that's represented by one myriad species and three pentatomids on South Texas cotton. And today my talk is going to focus on the comparison of bowl injury across these species. And then at the end of my talk, I'll speak to how this information can be used to calculate economic injury levels. So first I'd like to say thanks to a lot of the undergraduate summer interns that helped me do a lot of this work, to our local county extension agents and our private consultants for their contributions, and especially to Aaron Maxson for the high-resolution insect photos that you'll see throughout this presentation, and also the many local growers who have allowed me access to their property to collect insects to do the work. Would also like to say thanks to Cotton Incorporated for their financial support. And I'd like to start off my talk with showing you our study region and who makes up our species complex. And then we'll transition to looking at some common signs of plant injury. And then we'll jump into our field trial, our species comparison, then I'll finish up with a short summary and the presentation of the EILs. So this is our study region here in South Texas. And our species complex is mainly comprised of stink bugs and this plant bug species, where we have Eustistis cervus, Acrosternum hilarum, Pizorus gadini, and our myriad species, the Creontides signatus. Now, this here is a snapshot of the local counties where this species complex is generally reported. And I want to point out that these counties are cut out from this green highlighted region here, the South Texas Winter Gardens. This area alone, even in drought years, produces anywhere from 350 to 500,000 acres of cotton. So it is a major contributor. And throughout the rest of this presentation, I'm going to just refer to these as the brown stink bug, the green stink bug, red banded, and verde plant bug. So now that we've established where and who our species complex is, it really begs the question, is comprehensive management possible across these? But before we can really dissect that question, we need to take a look at the different plant growth stages that are susceptible to insect injury. So first we have this early bloom or squaring period, where the cotton flea hopper is our primary pest, and which is followed by this early to mid-bloom period where we begin to see the verde plant bug move in the field. And we know from the literature that this insect can damage older squares up to small bowls. And then it's generally followed by the initial wave of stink bugs, which are typically browns in our area. And then lastly, we transition into this mid-late bloom period where the plants are really at they're in full swing, where we have the greatest array of bowl ages. And as a consequence, that's where we see the complete species complex present in the field. So now that we've talked about what plant growth stages are at most risk to our insect, our complex of insects, we wanted to focus our efforts on this on these two bloom-specific periods, since our complex of insects is made up primarily of bowl feeders. So here I have some pictures of some green bowls. We wanted to take a look at the plant's response to insect injury as a response to feeding pressure and disease potential. So here, these green bowls here, they've got some signs of external probing and feeding. And there's going to be a small quiz here in just a second. I want you to be thinking in the back of your mind which insects from our species complex fed on which bowl. Okay. So when we take a closer look at these puncture marks, we see that they're virtually indistinguishable from each other. You simply can't tell them apart. Now, when we take these same green bowls and we crack them mid-season, we see these varying stages of bowl rot here. We know that many of the species from our complex are known competent vectors of bowl rot pathogens. So have you figured out who did what yet? As I went through this work, it's truly astonishing what a single insect can do. So here are our culprits. It's just amazing what a single bowl, what these insects can do on these cotton plants. So this led us to drill in and ask, is insect injury and disease potential equal across these species? And is the resulting injury and disease resulting in the same yield loss? So again, I've got some pictures of some bowl injury. Again, we have these external puncture marks. And when we crack these early season, we generally see these internal puncture marks. And as these generally progress into calluses and warts. Now, these warts can do one of two things. One, they can either cause a sort of like a a pressure point on that developing locule, which results in no economic loss. But more often than not, these warts are the initial site of bowl rot symptoms. And as that disease progresses, we see lint discoloration and eventual seed necrosis. So what is or may be different about these species? Is it the number of locules that are being injured? Is it the frequency of disease transmission, as well as the severity of those pathogens? And how are these factors affecting yield? So we conducted a field trial laid out in a 3x4 factorial, where in 2014 we used the red banded stink bug, the green stink bug, and this brown stink bug. And in 2015, when the mirrored species became available, we used the verde plant bug, the green stink bug, and the brown stink bug by 4 infestation rates, where 0 served as our control. The next was 0.25 bugs per plant, 1 bug per plant, and 2 bugs per plant for an infestation period of 7 days. Now, we chose the 7-day period to reflect a commercial field setting where these insects might go undetected during weekly scouting periods. Now, this was done across 2 growth stages in 2 years. So on to the measurements. All of our measurements were taken at harvest. We took the number of injured locules per bowl. We're on this scale of 0 to 4, where 0 corresponds to no injury, 1 to 1 injured locule, all the way up to 4. Then we took the percent bowls with rot, bowl load, and yield data. So each analysis was done separately for each 3x4 factorial for 2 growth stages, and those were mid-bloom and late-bloom. And across 2 years, of which 2014 was a drought year and 2015 was an abundant rainfall year. In all of these graphics that I'm about to show you, there was no significant species infestation interaction, and all the means have been separated by LSD comparisons. All of the graphics are going to follow this same general layout. We'll have our species key on the right-hand side, our dependent variable over here, and then we'll have our infestation rates at the bottom. Again, where 0 served as the control, 0.25 bugs per plant, 1 bug per plant, and 2 bugs per plant. So here, if you'll notice, I'm showing you the mid-bloom graphics for each year. This is because this was the significant blooming period. When we look at feeding activity across both years, we see that it was substantially higher in our drought year compared to our abundant rainfall year. And in 2015, where we have the addition of the mirrored species, we see that feeding activity observed from stink bugs is greater than that observed from the verde plant bug. Here our hypothesis was, is the frequency of rot the same across these species? Again, when we look across both years, the mid-bloom period was our significant blooming period, and we see this linear relationship. As we increase the number of insects, the percent rot increases. Again, in 2015, with the addition of the mirrored species, we see that the rot observed from our stink bugs is greater than that of the verde plant bug. And I want to make note that rot is extremely variable, and we were unable to detect any significant differences among our different species. And so this really speaks to comprehensive management. They may be similar enough that comprehensive management is possible. So in summary, feeding activity in rot was significantly higher in our drought year compared to our rainfall year. And so here is the overall harvest damage. Again, mid-bloom was our significant period. When we look at 2014 during the drought year, the plants were just simply unable to compensate for the insect injury. And then when we look at 2015, no economic damage was reached. The plants were more than able to compensate for that injury. We see here in 2014 this yield response insect density dependent relationship. As we increase the number of insects, our yield decreases. So we're going to take a closer look at the bowl size and bowl load differences across both years. Let's take a look at this, the effect of the environment and the rainfall year. Just for completeness, I wanted to show you the late bloom insignificant period. For all of our species across to all these infestation rates, infested at late bloom, it simply wasn't significant. There was more risk to our mid-bloom cotton than it was at late bloom. So in summary, is bowl injury equal across species? Yes, we saw that it was. But we saw when we looked at plant growth stages, mid-bloom was more significant as it sustained more injury than late bloom. Our second hypothesis was boll rot equal across both species. We saw that it was. But when we looked across the plant growth stages, we saw that it wasn't, that mid-bloom period was a significant period and that there was more injury sustained in it versus the abundant rainfall year. And lastly, this resulting damage measured in yield, was it equal across these species? And we see yes, it was. But across plant growth stages, it wasn't. Again, we see mid-bloom was our significant period. So as promised, here are the economic injury levels. These were calculated based on mid-bloom significance under drought conditions. So these are the EILs under those scenarios. The EIL calculation is pretty straightforward from Pedego. Where C is the cost of control per acre, B is the price of the commodity, I and D is estimated from the regression model's slope M, and K is the expected proportion of the population to be controlled. We see here for our brown stink bug, we become injurious at 0.28 bugs per plant. Then the tolerance increases a little to 0.3 bugs per plant for the red banded stink bug. And then we see that there's a little, even more tolerance with respect to the green stink bug here. I want to point out that the EIL for this Verde plant bug is extremely inflated. And we believe this is due to the excessive rainfall from 2015. And with that, so some of the next steps for this project, we need to probe into this data set a little further and reanalyze it using the boll load as a covariate. I believe this may bolster some of our interactions. Looking at manipulating the environment using irrigation and how excessive rainfall, what effect it has on boll rot and insect activity. We also have a couple of other projects where we are looking at pentatomid movement and myriad movement in cotton agroecosystems so we can try to get a better idea of where these insects are on the plant, where they occur at. And with that, I'd like to invite you to a talk tomorrow in Gallery 1 at 9:45, where Dr. Gino Medrano will be speaking as the Verde plant bug as a vector of boll rot pathogens. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your time and your attention, and take any questions or comments, please. Yes, sir.
You infested adults?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Were you able to sex them, male, female?
That's a great question. That's something that we haven't looked at just due to resources, but that's a really good thing to look at. I don't believe that there is any difference between male and female with respect to boll rot or the feeding activity. If it may be, but that's a good thing to look into. Absolutely.
Were you able to qualify what kind of disease organisms rot you were seeing?
We have a collaborative project with this gentleman here we are working on identifying that specific suite of boll rot pathogens and assessing the competency of these vectors. Yes, sir.
Well, from the outside, how often does that turn into a puncture
scar? So the fidelity of insect activity with the internal punctures. That is something that we are taking a closer look at, trying to correlate those two factors. As of right now, this is all off the cuff, unpublished data. There may be some sort of correlation between those two. We just simply don't know yet. We needed to just establish a rubric. Essentially, we all know that if we're out in the field, we're going to spray if there's more than two bugs per plant. This 0.25 was to estimate low infestation rates and the potential that they have at such low infestation rates.
So in each case, it was like you put one bug per four plants.
Yes, absolutely. So essentially, we had zero for the zero control, one bug per four plants, two bugs per four plants, and then eight bugs, making the two per plant. Yeah, that's right. Anyone else? All right, thank you.